Okay, Parshas Vayechi, we're going to be learning the Pasuk of Yasser Shevet Yehuda. That's Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud. In the brachas that Yaakov was giving, so in the bracha for his son Yehuda, it says, Yasser Shevet Yehuda Mechaykik Mbein Raglav Ad Ki Yavai Shiloi V'lo Yikas Amin. That the rod of power will not depart from Yehuda, nor will the scepter depart from his offspring, Ad ki avay shiloi, which Rashi says before, so the Melech HaMashiach, until Mashiach comes, v'leikas hamim, and he'll gather in the nations. So the Pasuk is saying that Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, is supposed to possess the Malchus. They were Zeicha in this Pasuk, they were given the Zechus of the Malchus. And the Pasuk says that the Malchus will not depart from them, from Yehuda, ad ki avay shiloi, until Mashiach comes. The Ramban begins by telling us what's not the pshat. When it says it will not depart, it doesn't mean it'll never depart. That there'll always be a malach from Yehuda, that in every dar from now, Yaakov Avinu, until the time of Mashiach, at Kiyav Shilai, there'll be a malach whom we can identify as coming from Shevet Yehuda. That's not what it means. Shalayasr la'ilam. Kikosov, because there are b'feirush psukim in the Torah that say Yoylech Hashem as Ma'ischav as Malchach Hashatokam Alach Algei Shalayata Tava Risacha. That's a pasuk in the Torah that describes the king and the nation being taken into captivity. V'hineihem u'malkam b'goyla. So if they and their king are in exile, then that means there's no king. Ein lahem oid melech v'sarim. He's using lashon as psukim. Ein lahem oid melech v'sarim is based on a lashon of a pasuk. V'yamim rabim ein melech v'yisrael is based on a lashon of a pasuk. But he says, certainly, there's supposed to be a galus. And when there's a galus, there's not a Melech Yehuda. There's no Melech, there's no Jewish king. So the Jewish king is not going to be from Melech Yehuda. So clearly, the pasuk that says, Lo Yasser Shevet Yehuda doesn't mean that there'll never be an absence of a Melech Yehuda, a Melech Yisrael from Yehuda. V'hanavi lo yavtiach es Yisrael, shelo yechul b'shevi b'shem inyan, bavur shim lechaleim Yehuda. He said it would be preposterous to think that here we have, on the one hand, there's this idea that if we don't keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, then we're supposed to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, and we're supposed to be taken over by the other nations. But wait, no, you can't do that. Because if you throw the Jews out of Eretz Yisrael and they have them captured by the other nations, then there won't be a Malach from Shevet Yehuda. And there's a rule that there always has to be a Malach from Shevet Yehuda, because Lo Yasser Shevet Yehuda. So, okay, the Yidden can't go into Galus. He says that's preposterous. Of course, if the Yidden have to go into Galus, then they'll go into Galus, and then there'll be no king, and we're not concerned with the Lo Yasser Shevet Yehuda. So what then does the pasuk mean? Aval inyana, all it means is Shlo Yasser Shevet Yehuda El Echad Me Echav. It means that the Malchus is not supposed to be transferred from Yehuda, from Shevet Yehuda to a different Shevet. Ki Malchus Yisrael HaMoshel Aleihem Mimenu Yeh. V'lo Yimshel Echav Me'echav Alav. It means that as long as there is a Jewish king, that is supposed to be, then that Jewish king is supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda. It means that the Mechaykek is supposed to be, it means when there is a Shevet, a Mechaykek, when there's a Malchus in the Jewish people, it's supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda. When there is, there is. When there isn't, there isn't. This puzzle doesn't mean to say anything about how frequently, how long, what the duration will be of the Malchus of the Jewish people. But when the Jewish people have a Melech, then that Melech is supposed to come from Shevet Yehuda. Now, what's this Ramban getting at? What's the context over here? When he starts off his piece by saying, what's not the pshat? He's coming to correct an error. So I want to give out a sheet over here. Let's take one of these. Okay. What you're looking at over here is an excerpt from something that the Ramban wrote called the Sefer HaVikuach. Here's the background. You're looking at Ois Yud Aleph, but I'll read to you from the beginning, a little bit outside. Tziva Oisi Adeinenu HaMelech Lehesfakeach Im Frai Paul Behechalai. That the king, that's James of Aragon, ordered me to to conduct a debate or to participate in a debate with Friar Paul or Pablo in the Royal Palace in Barcelona. And then jumping to Oiz Zion, it says, Oz Pasach Friar Paul va'amar shehu yechiach man atalma shalom shekvar ba'am mashiach asher nevim me'idim alav. Friar Paul, his purpose was to bring proofs from Jewish sources, it says from the Talmud in particular, that Mashiach has already come. As it had said in Oiz Vav, that we have to discuss, we're not going to waste our time with side things, we're going to get straight to the heart of the matter. The Christians believe that the Messiah has already come, and the Jews maintain, they insist obstinately that the Messiah has not yet come. So I'm going to prove to you, not from our sources, but from your sources. This Friar Paul was a yeshiva bachar. He had learned in yeshiva and had then defected and became a mashumid and became a priest. And he had what he felt was a valuable weapon. Because he had learned in yeshiva, so he had access to the Jewish sources and he had some familiarity with the Jewish sources. So he had this great idea that he could prove from Jewish sources that the Messiah has already come. And now what you're looking at is Oiz Yud Aleph. The first 9-10 paragraphs are interesting conversation, but before they actually get to the sources. And then in Oiz Yud Aleph, Hischil Va'amar. This is really the beginning of the debate of what Pablo Christiani had said he would do, which is to prove Min HaTalmud, from Jewish sources, that the Messiah has already come. And the very first proof that he brings, Hine hakasav oimer layosur shevim Yehuda umuchakik mibein raglav ad ki avayishilai shehu HaMashiach. The Pasuk says that the Malchus will never depart from the Jewish people until the times of Mashiach. Hareisha Hanavi Oimer, the Navi says, Ki la'olam yeh Yehuda koyach ad HaMashiach ha'yisim imenu, that Yehuda will always have the power until the days of Mashiach. V'mkein, hayoyim she'en lechem le'shevet echav alem mechokik echad. If nowadays, clearly you'll admit to Rabbi Moshe that the Jews don't have a king, there's no king or ruler nowadays in the Jewish people, so then according to your Torah, it's mukhrach that kvar ba HaMashiach, shehu mizaray v'loy HaMashiach, that there is already a Messiah that's descended from Yehuda, and he has the rulership, the shevet, the machaykek of this pasuk, and so that's a proof that Mashiach has already come. And onisiva marti. So this pshat, that if we go back to the piece Torah, where he starts Einin Yanai, right? Don't think the pshat is. So whose pshat is that? Who's the Yeshiva version that he's quoting? That's Pablo Christiani, and not just Friar Pablo, but that was a major argument of the Christians throughout the Middle Ages, when the Jews often had to participate in debates with the Christians. There are certain major ones. There are certain very well known debates, like the well known ones. The Ramban's is the only one that had a happy ending, that ended well for us. And then there's the famous one in Paris around the same time, a few years earlier, with the Rechil Paris, which ended with the 24 wagon loads of the Talmud. And there was about 150 years after the Ramban in Spain, when conditions were already very different in Spain, also a very disastrous, painful debate. But when the Ramban did it in 1263, it was great. We have a whole transcript of the debate. There's really two. After the debate was finished, the church put out their version of what happened. And then the Ramban then wrote this, what you're looking at. You're looking at an excerpt from the Sefer Vikuach, which is his. Theirs was just meant as a summary, and his is a transcript. And it's interesting. In their summary, he was lost, he was bewildered, he was overwhelmed every step of the way. And then he put out his version, and you see, he actually did quite well. And, but all of the, everything that's in the Christian version is not made up out of whole cloth. It all refers to conversations that really took place, but they're all misrepresented. Anyway, so, but you see that the very first argument was this pasuk. So this was a pasuk that was really on the minds of every Jew in Europe in the Middle Ages, because they always, you know, had to contend with the Christians. There's a Tshuva HaRashba where the Rashba talks about, I don't know if this was a well-known debate, but the Rashba and a Tshuva talks about a debate that he had, maybe privately. I don't know if it was in front of a king or anything, but the Rashba writes how he once was debating a priest, and this was the argument, or one of the arguments that the priest brought against him, that it says, L'yos shevet mi'yehuda, ad ki yavar shilai. And now we see that it was Sir Shevet Miyehuda. So Al Kerchach, that means it was already Bashilai. That's the proof of that Mashiach has already come. So to that, that could be lost if you're just learning the Ramban Al HaTorah without this context. But when he starts off Einin Yanoi, he means to say it's not a proof to Christianity, as the Christians maintain, because it doesn't mean that there'll always be. And he says, I'm not saying this to answer their challenges. It's muchach from the Torah Mineyubei. Because it says in a pasuk in Parashas Kisavai that. So let's leave the Christians out of this. I'm just trying to. Let's say I was sitting Ishtachas Gafnav, Ishtachas Karmai in the days of Shlomo HaMelech in Eretz Yisrael. I would say the same pshat. Because I have one pasuk in Bereishis that says Lo Yosher Shevi Miyehuda, and I have another pasuk in Devarim that says Yodech Hashem Yisuch Ves Malkecha El Gaya Shaleidat Tata Pavisecha. So it's a stira. So to answer that kasha, we're going to have to say that Lo Yosher Shevi Miyehuda doesn't mean that there'll always be a melech. It just means that the melech of Klal Yisrael is supposed to be from Yehuda. When there's a melech, it should come from Yehuda. When there isn't a melech, it won't come from Yehuda. So therefore, that's mukh, that is the pshat. That's the rabbi that he brings over here. But again, it's not a pshat that he's saying to push off their taina, but it's a pshat that he feels is muchach from the Torah Minei Yubei. Yeah, Shlomo?
Wasn't Shaul from the Yemen?
Yes. Okay, so we'll hopefully get that. That's a little bit later, further down in this paragraph, he's going to discuss. He's really, I don't know how much we'll get to, but the Ramban is going to want to discuss two major departures that we have from this. Right? It said there's a mitzvah Shevet Miyehuda, which according to the Ramban, even after we see the Ramban sort of scale it back, it doesn't mean what you might have thought it meant. But it still means that when the Jewish people have a king, it's supposed to come from Yehuda. So Shlomo is asking, what about Shaul HaMelech? The very first king didn't come from Shevet Yehuda. And the Ramban talks about that first, and then a little later on in the piece, he talks about the Chashmonaim, who were a whole dynasty of kings that came from Shevet Levi. They were Kehanim. So he's going to try to address both of those. Maybe before we do that, just go back briefly into the Sefer HaVikuach. You know, it's interesting that it says, Hizchil v'Amar, the first proof that he brought was from this pasuk. Now, you didn't need the extra credentials of Pablo Christiani, that he was a yeshiva bachar and he knew Talmud. You didn't need that to bring this proof. This is really the oldest proof in the books. The Christians had to be bringing this proofs from long before they heard of the Talmud. Pablo Christiani, why was he starting with this? This, right, he says he's going to prove from the Talmud. This is not a proof from the Talmud. This is a proof from the Torah. So that's really because of the follow-up. He was getting to the follow-up, which is Yud Gimel. But we're in the middle of Yud Beis. Let's continue reading. I don't know if we did Yud Beis. We just did Yud Aleph, where you saw that Pablo Christiani said that from this pasuk you see a proof that Mashiach has already come. So in Yud Beis, Anisiv Amarati, Ein Kavanas Anavi Lamish Lakim Amlachas Yehuda B'Tei Laklal B'Shem Zman. No, he writes, same as what he wrote in his Pirush Al HaTorah, that the pasuk by no means means to say that there'll never be an interruption of the Malchus. It means that when the Jewish people have a king, that king should come from Yehuda. And it may get interrupted, but if it gets interrupted, it'll go back to Yehuda. The proof that I'm right is because he says, if you are right, that it means that there'll be uninterrupted malchus from in Shevet Yehuda until Mashiach. And Mashiach came along, and that was Yeshua Netzri in the year zero, Lemisparam. And from the times of Yehuda until the times of Yeshu, there was a Melech from Shevet Yehuda. It says, that's your pshat, right? But that's not true, because there were times that it was batal from Yehuda, not from Yisrael, meaning, like, for example, those two instances that we just talked about. And then there were times that there was no malach at all. He doesn't, it's interesting, he doesn't bring from the 400 years or so when they came into Eretz Yisrael, before they made a melech, or for that matter, for all the years from Yehuda, the person, until they came to, from Yehuda, the Zayda, till David, the first king from Beis Yehuda, from Malchus Yehuda, he doesn't, the Ramban does not bring a proof from that. It seems that even the Goyim didn't think that it means La'yos HaShevim Yehuda from today. It means La'yos HaShevim Yehuda from when it's put there. Because Yasser means to be removed. So he might only get it in 500 years from now, but from when he gets it, it won't be removed. So the Ramban says, okay, fine. But from when he got it, it was removed. It was removed when it was... So he doesn't mean Shaul then, but he means Shabbat Lamachas me Yehuda v'loim Yisrael. He means in the times of the Chashmenayim. V'yem Ram Bat Lamachas gam Yisrael v'gam Yehuda. When's that? Shari b'shevim shana shagol l'babel l'hayol Yehuda v'loim Yisrael Malchus klal. He says... During Galus Bavel, there was no Malchus at all. They were subjects to the king Nebuchadnezzar and his successors. When they came back up to Eretz Yisrael, so there was Zerubbabel, and he had a son, Meshulam, but that was a brief dynasty. That was from Malchus Beis David. But that was a brief dynasty. Then the Greeks came in, and then the Hashmonaim overthrew the Greeks. So, he says, you know, the Hashmonaim were long before Yeshu. So if you feel that L'yos Shem Yehuda means that there's an uninterrupted Malchus of Yehuda, so what are you going to do about these periods earlier? So the Ramban maybe fell a bit into a trap over here. That's what Pablo Cristiani was waiting for. That's why, right? Because he has a Talmud to refute that. But oisam hazmanim kulam avopichle haya malachim haya lahem memshala shekach pirshu b'talmud. He says, ah, it's in the Talmud, which, by the way, Rashi on this pasuk brings down this Talmud, this Gemara and Sanhedrin. Hey. So, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says on this pasuk that the leadership in Bavel, those were the Rashi Galusa, they were descended from Malchus Beis David. And the leadership in Eretz Yisrael, those were the Nesiim, they were descended from Malchus Beis David. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Hillel, they were all from Malchus Beis David. The Beis Galusas, at least, were supposed to be from Malchus Beis David. So the Gemara says that when the Yidden were in Bavel, there really was a continuation of Malchus Yehuda. But now there isn't. So that means that Ne'ewataka continued uninterrupted until Yeshu came. And then it fell apart. So he says that this inyan of the Rashi Golos and Bavel and the Nesim and Eretz Yisrael, that's the inyan that's called smicha. And this and Friar Paul says that nowadays you don't have smicha anymore. That smicha was the last remnant of Malchus Beis David. And nowadays, even that's gone. Nowadays, you don't even have real rabbis. A little comic relief thrown here into the middle of the debate. He says to the Ramban, you know, you're a fraud, because they call you rabbi. But I learned in the Talmud that in order to be called a rabbi, you need to have smicha. And the smicha disappeared when Yeshu came. So anyone that calls himself a rabbi now is a fraud, including you. And my pshat on the pasuk is right. Le'as Hashem Yehuda, because there really was a Malchus Beis David that continued in the form of the smicha, yeah. and then that disappeared. Why? Because Ad Ki Aveshile and now Mashiach is here. That's how he used this pasuk together with the Gemara and Sanhedrin to sort of fill in that gap, and with that he has a proof that Mashiach has already come. So Ramban wasn't so impressed. Anisi kima hasel boy. He says, I answered jokingly. This is a little bit off the topic, but you're not quite right. She'ain Rebbe maestro ki rav hu maestro. Rav b'talmud. He says, if you would learn the Gemara more carefully, you'll notice that within the Gemara there are rabbis with smicha and rabbis without smicha. The rabbis with smicha are called Rebbe, and the rabbis without smicha are called Rav. Incidentally, for all of you, it's just to be familiar with the Tanayim and also the Amirayim. Those Amirayim that were in Eretz Yisrael, they had smicha. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, they're all called Rabbi Reish Beis Yud. And all the Amirayim that were in Bavel, in times of the Talmud Bavli, there was no smicha. The Amirayim in Bavel are all called Rav Huna, Rav Papa, you think of more examples. But Rav Huna and Rav Papa are two good ones. Rav Chista, those are Rav, not Rebbe. Rav Zeira is a little bit of a tricky one. Rav Zeira started off in Bavel and then went to Eretz Yisrael. And when the Gemara quotes something that he said while he was in Bavel, he's Rav Zeira. What? Apparently. And the smicha was preserved in Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Talmud Bavli. So the Ramban says that it's not that the Gemara says that nowadays you can't have rabbis. You could. They just go by a different title. So when we Jews here in Spain call our rabbis master, which by the way, it's just incidental. That's interesting that apparently they were called master, right? He was called Master Moshe. When we Jews here in Spain call our rabbis master, that's not a violation of the rule of the Talmud. That's a continuation of what we're not referring to what they called in Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe. We're referring to what they called in Bavel, Rav. Avolani moide ki eni maestro v'loi Talmud toiv. But you know what? You're really right. I'm not a good rabbi. You want to call me a fraud? Call me a fraud. I'm not such a good rabbi. I'm not even such a good student. Whatever. You know, I try, but I'm not so smart. I'm not so learned. Amarti zeb derech muser, he writes here in his notes. He says, I was just saying this to be polite. Okay. Now let's get back to business. And he says, okay, so your real proof, right, you weren't proving anything from the pasuk. You know there's no proof from the pasuk. You meant to be proving it from the Gemara Sanhedrin. Ani yodiyachash ena kavano rabbi simiz ala farish ha-pasuk ela b'malchus mamish ela she'incha mevin din v'halacha ela ma'at b'hagodis she'hergalta asmacha behen. You're a agarta specialist. So you don't really know how to handle halacha de gemaras. The inyan hazeh she's kira chachamim he ki mishur es hadin in adam don yechidi vi patur min l'shalim elam ki natal rishus ben anasi v'hu hamelach. The amru ki bizman hagalus ki min sheyesh mizera hamalucha mi sheyir leksas mem shalom mi malche hagoyim ki gani vashigali yeshabav v'nitzi yeshol yishlam nitzinis rishus usmicha. He says, what this Gemara Sanhedrin is talking about is a very specific halacha, le'inyin that a dayan should be pater from compensating someone in the event that he made a mistake in his din Torah, that he can only do if he's authorized to judge from a melech. And to that, the Gemara says that the Rashi Galiyos and the Nesiim, because they were there with the approval of the Goyish Malchus, so that was considered for this purpose, that qualified as a continuation of Malchus. But, and yes, the Gemara connects it to that pasuk, but the Gemara never meant, so you don't get that sometimes the Gemara uses psukim, but it means it's just as an asmachta. The Gemara never meant to say that that's really the nevuah or the tzava of Yaakov Avinu, the Le'as Hashavim Yehuda, refers to this din that the Reish Galus is able to appoint judges. That's not what Le'as Hashavim Yehuda is about. Le'as Hashavim Yehuda is really real Malchus. But he says, but you know what? Let's say we were to have it your way, that somehow this Gemara, which refers to Smicha, this is the Kiyum of the Leyas Shev and Yehuda, then Noag v'chach mei Talmud la'achar Yeshu, Yosef Midal mei Yeshana. So that would slug you up right away. Because if you want to say that that continued until Yeshu, your dates are all wrong. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking very approximately. Nowadays, we have a Christianity. And nowadays, we don't have a smicha. Oh, so the Yaakov Avinu is saying that the smicha will disappear when Christianity arrives. But it was within about 500 years of each other, but that's not exactly coming so close. He says, I think there's a Ramban elsewhere, there's a Ramban on Maseches Gittin, who identifies when the smicha ended. And it was about the year 360 of the Common Era. He doesn't refer to the Common Era. He refers to the Minyan Shtaris, which you need to make conversions. But it works out to the year 360 approximately of the Common Era. That's when the Smicha ended. To me that sounds like about 360 years after Yeshu. But, oh, no, no, why does he say 150? Because, of course, there's a Ramban later on in the Vikuach that points out that their chronology of their creation story is all wrong. Because in the Talmud, it says that Yeshu was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Prachya. Rabbi Shimon Prachya was not in the year zero. Rabbi Shimon Prachya was in the Zugais at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, right? Rabbi Shimon Prachya is with Nita Herabeli. So it's the second or the third of the Zugais. So it's three or four generations before Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai were about 100 years before the Churban. So that would make them...
Negative 30?
What?
Negative
30
or
is that
the wrong Churban?
What do you mean? Hillel and Shammai were...
70? The Churban?
Yeah, or 68, something like that.
Which means Hillel is only 30 BCE.
Right.
In which case, then,
and they're maybe about 50 to 100 years earlier. So the Ramban says that your calculations of when Yeshu lived are about 150 years off of what it says in the Talmud. Incidentally, you know, which is a little bit off topic, but, you know, the Ramban was debating in Spain about 20 years after Vichil was debating in Paris, but under such drastically different conditions. And because in Paris, it was a much, much more hostile environment, and it was a real trial, and he was on the defensive. And over here, the Jews, it was not, you know, the Jews had it pretty good. And James of Aragon, of course, he was a Christian, but he was, for him, it seems that he was in it more for the sport. He loved the idea, and it was probably good for the economy also to have this Gewaltige event taking place in his palace, and there was tourism, there was interest, whatever, and he wanted to see these two people go at it. And obviously he was rooting for the Christian, but, well, you know, when the Ramban was in a position to make conditions, and he said, you want me to participate? I'll come participate if you allow me to speak freely. So he said, okay, fine, speak freely. And becoming Paris was in no condition to say anything like that, I'll participate if. He would have been thrown into a dungeon. It was a very, very different world. So this exact same dialogue, not the one that we're reading now, but the one that I just mentioned, sort of going off on a tangent, but where the Ramban says that your chronology is 150 years off. So the Ramban says it on the offensive. He's sort of mocking them that you guys don't even know when your master lived, when your Messiah lived. Rabbi Chil said the same thing, and I think he said it first, it was 20 years earlier. Rabbi Chil said it entirely on the defensive. When he was attacked, that, you know, look what the Talmud says about Yeshu. It says such horrible things. It's blasphemy that this Talmud should be burned. What do you have to say for yourself? So he, to escape from that charge, he said, oh no, when the Talmud talks about Yeshu, it doesn't mean you're Yeshu. He said the famous line, he said, are all of the babies born in France named Louis the King? So Yeshu or Yeshua was a popular name in Eretz Yisrael. So they looked at him like, oh, give me a break. You know, the Talmud tells these stories about some prominent person who was a magician and who was executed, and his name was Yeshu. And you mean to tell me that it's not that Yeshu? So he said, yeah, because it says over there that he was a Talmud of Shimon Prachya. That puts him about 150 years before your Yeshu. So you see, it's not really the same Yeshu. So he was using this as a trick to get out of having to defend or you know, justify the things that the Gemara was saying about, you know, the nasty things that the Gemara was saying about the Yeshu, while the Ramban was saying it kind of mockingly. But anyway, coming back to this piece over here, and Parshas Vayechi, coming back to this piece over here, he says that clearly, you know, if you're going to take that, if you're not going to accept, let's say you can say, oh, asmachta hin asmachta hera, if the Gemara says that's the pasuk, so then it's anyway not going to bear out your chronology because it goes way too far. It goes after Yeshu. But then he goes on to say that Chazal never really meant seriously that that Yaakov Avinu's Yosef and Yehuda was talking about that office which the sultans of or the caliph in Bavel was appointing to be the Reish Galusa, that should be the Yosef and Yehuda. No, that's just an Asmachta Ba'alma remez to a detail in halacha. But the last Shevim Yehuda means real malchus, and the real malchus, sometimes we had it and sometimes we didn't. All right, now we'll come back to, we'll do a little bit, to come back to his piece on Vayechila, we'll skip the bubble part, I mean, the Shlomo asking about the shul part. He has a very interesting discussion about shul, and what he says is that it was that Shoal was not a violation of Leah Shevim Yehuda because it was never intended to be a dynasty. It was a temporary malchus. And he throws in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely took someone not from Yehuda because he meant for it to be temporary because he wasn't happy with the whole request, as the psukim over there in Shmuel indicate. So it's a very fascinating discussion that Ramban has about that. But I want to jump to the later ones. We don't have time for both. Where he's maybe in some of the editions, it's a new paragraph. He starts with Zeha Yonish Hashmeinayim. If you have that, it's closer to the end of the piece. Zeha Yonish Hashmeinayim Shemocha Vayesheni. He says, so you're going to say you have a kasha. Why did the Hashmeinayim? How could the Hashmeinayim have a malchus if they're not from Shevi Yehuda? Like, that's Shevi Yehuda. So you call it a kasha, I call it a teretz. Because one would ask, how could it be that the Hashmonaim, how you chaside elyon, vil malihim nishtak chutayra v'amitzis mi Yisrael, v'afal piki nenshu einish gadol, ki arbani chashmonaim, azok in chasidim ha-molchim zech ha-zem, kol gubaras ma'atzlachasam, nofal bi-areveim b'charev, v'yegi ha-einish b'sifim ha-shem, v'chazal kamanda omer, v'yitz chashmonaim, ka-asina avdahu, sh'nichasu kulam. He says, I have a gavaldik akasha. The Hashmonaim was so great. They're such heroes of ours, right? The Ashkirim Teresecha, Shem Biat Sadikim, Zaydim Biat Oiske Teresecha. They saved the day. And they ended up with such a horrible ending that the Gemara of Abbasra says that Hordis, who was really from a family of Avadim, he led a coup and massacred the entire family, and there wasn't a single surviving member of the whole Bet Malchus Beis Shemayim. Why did that happen? What did they do to deserve that? He says it was kul ba'avon zeh. It was all for this aveira. Al hafi shehayu bezeres Shimon einish min hatzedukim. Even though, yeah, there was one branch of the family that had another aveira that Chazal tell us about, that Shimon HaTzadik had a son, Yechanan Kayin Gadol, who became a tzeduki. Avo kol zera matisyo chashmonei hatzadik le'avru. But that aveira did not apply to the family of Matisyahu, El Babrzeh. So it was this Aveira alone, Shemolchu v'leihayu mizera Yehudim v'beis David. It was because they took the Malchus, they were not from the family of Yehuda and David, v'hesiru ha-shevet v'amachaykek legamri. They removed the shevet and the machaykek that Yaakov Avinu had said should belong to Shevet Yehuda, and they put it into their own family. V'hayayinish mida k'negen mida. Look how appropriate the punishment was. They went and took a srara, a malchus, that they weren't roi for. So their punishment was that they fell into the hands of avadim, the last people in the world that would be roi for malchus. Shehim shlokash broch aleim esavdehem hemechrisom. That it was the family of avadim that it was not just that they were defeated by another dynasty, but it was the worst kind of worst kind of a defeat, the most like a real an ignominious defeat in the hands of a family of slaves, because that really mimics what they did to Shevet Yehuda. The Efshir Gam Kain, and then the Ramban will end with this. He says, I have a theory. Well, first pshat is that Enochnami, what they did was wrong. It was not allowed. In the previous piece that we skipped, he talked about Shaul. He also talked about Yeravam. Yeravam had the sanction of a Navi. But he says, but that was okay because it was never meant to be a permanent dynasty. It was supposed to be a one-time thing. So he's saying that over here, they did worse because they took it for their whole family and they passed it down dar after dar. So that was their Avera. And the terrorists of the Kaiser, how could they do it? The terrorists says, yeah, they talk and weren't allowed. What they did was bad, and that's why they got punished. The Efshir Gam Kein Shaya Aleim Chet B'malchuz B'mnei Shayu Kayhanim. What the Ramban over here suggests is that maybe there's a particular Isser for Kehanim to take the Malchus. Meaning, Avada, there's always an Isser, there's a Mitzvah that's the same Shevet Yehuda, but to that Mitzvah there are exceptions. Right? Like we find by Shaul and by Yeravam, that if it's temporary, it will be okay. But so first he wants to say that the Hashmonaim were worse because they didn't make it temporary. But then he wants to say, maybe even if not, maybe they did mean for it to be temporary. At least maybe originally it was meant to be temporary. But it could be that there was a different Aveira, that there's a Bazundara Isser for Kehanim. Because, and then he goes on to bring a Yushami, which we're not going to look at inside. Then he goes on to bring a Yushami. Ataka has one opinion that says besides for the din of Leis Shevim Yehuda, there's a special halacha that the Kehanim, their Mashicha is for Avoida. And Yehuda's Mashicha is for Malchus. And never the twain shall meet. That is a special Isser on Kehanim, and that's why they in particular were bad. So his last point was basically he's not defending the Chashmonaim at all. The Chashmonaim did an Aveira, either because Hagufa, the Leis Shevim Yehuda that they violated, or because they were Kehanim in particular. But what they did was an Aveira and they were punished for it. That's how he leaves it off. In some of the Svarim on Hanukkah, there are some Mefarshim that continue this discussion and don't really want to leave it at that, that the Chashmonaim did an Aveira and so they were punished. But there's an attempt to try to defend them a little bit. This is an interesting piece. I'm not sure that I'm going to remember quite how it goes. There's a B'nai Saschar who quotes the Gemara that David Shloima Yishanim Shechu Bekeren Nimshecha Malchusam, and Shaul, and what does it say? I think, and Rabbi Baishas, Shanim Shechu Bepach Lo Nimshecha Malchusam. I don't know where the Gemara is. Shaul and Yehu. Thank you. Shaul and Yehu. Shnim shechu bepach, lo nimshecha malchusam. Pach, zok the Bnei Saschar, it's gematria 100. It's the same as the gematria of Yimloich. Keren, which is the gematria 350, is the gematria of Yimloich la'olam va'ed. So that's why Shaul and Yehu, the nimshecha bepach, was lo nimshecha malchusam. That's a Yimloich. David Ushlami Shanimshu Bekaran was Nimshu Malchusam. The Chashmonaim, when the Nes happened through a Pach. So they saw in that a remez that they're meant to make a Malchus, but it's supposed to be a Malchus in the image of the Malchus of Shaul and Yehu, Shanimshu Pach. There was no Shemana Mishkan at the time of the Chashmonaim, so they weren't really Nimshu. That wasn't the Geah Halacha Lamaisa. But in the spirit of, in the image of the Malchus of Shaul, and so the fact that it was, from the fact that the nes happened through a pach, they saw that they're supposed to make a malchus, but a malchus that's supposed to be not loylam vayed, and therefore not a violation of the shevim Yehuda. Dr. B'nai Saschar, a pach is how much short of keren? 250. So Chazal made a mitzvah of ner of the gematria 250, so that from the Malchus that was avekeshtelt by the Chashmenoyim, it would eventually lead to, right, add to that, the Ner Shel Mitzvah, and it would lead to the Lo Yikas Hamim of Yimlech Lalem Voed, that the Malchus would come back to Shevet Yehuda.